Welcome to another episode of The Silly with the Hooligans. It's Mitch, Mr. Bird.
Hello.
Mr. Brad.
Hello.
We got some good news to talk about for once. It's not all about the MLS. We've got, like, USL stuff to talk about now.
The actual team that we have.
It's been a few weeks. I've enjoyed the sort of lackadaisical schedule we've been allowed to have during the off season, but we're gearing up, and it won't be long, and we'll have to be having these every week because there's so much to talk about.
There is a lot even to talk about today.
Yes, there is.
That's a nice change. And again, it's not all MLS. It's not all politics.
We'll touch a little bit on that, but more importantly, business.
USL business.
That's right.
Follow the players on social media. They're all heading into town. Seb Dahlgren, he was on his Instagram. There's a picture of the arch. He's here. A couple of other players taking photographs of flights landing and stuff. So it's happening.
It won't be long. They'll have that preseason meeting, and then they'll be putting on pads and getting out there.
Speaking of preseason meetings.
Yeah, let's start with that. Our annual general meeting, the AGM, will take place. It's a little early this year because the team's heading out for an extended training camp, but we're going to be having our meeting February 11th at 4 p.m.
at Shafley Tap Room downtown.
And let's touch on that a minute. It's not because we don't enjoy ITAP. And
we love ITAP.
We still will be using them for watch parties and stuff for away games, but frankly, we outgrew it.
Last year, there were so many people.
There were close to 200 people, maybe over 200 by the time it ended, and Shafley just wasn't big, or ITAP just wasn't big enough for the crowd. A lot of people couldn't hear what we were saying. So
even with a PA system, they couldn't hear what we were saying.
Right. We'll be at the club room at Shafley Tap Works, the downtown location. Shafley Tap Room. Don't go to Bottle Works. Go to the Tap Room.
Tap Room.
And we'll be upstairs in their club room where they have wedding receptions and events.
Beautiful view of downtown.
Beautiful view of downtown. We'll have a stage.
They have a good bar.
They have Shafley products.
So bring your growlers to take some home with you.
That's right. We'll be there from 4 to 7. There won't be food at the event. There will be beer. But you can, once the meeting's over, you can either go downstairs and get something to eat from their main room, or you can pair up with friends and go someplace else in downtown. Interestingly enough, we're within walking distance from the new site where there is a plan to build an MLS stadium.
I don't think that's a coincidence that Shafley reached out to us at the same
timing. Yeah, I think they think that would be a nice place for us to congregate if and when that ever happens, so.
God, can you imagine?
Yeah, I can't imagine. Yeah, that'd be great.
Because we're going to. But yeah, so they're excited to have us. We're excited to be there. It's going to be, if you haven't been to an AGM, it's a great event. This is where we kind of talk about what's going to happen in the upcoming season. The tailgate guys will chat.
Talk about road trips. Players and staff will be there.
I missed it last year. I was on vacation, so I'm ready to go.
There wasn't a lot of room, so
I mean I'm at the airport about to fly home, and I'm seeing the photographs. I'm like, oh, I missed it.
That was the funny thing in creating the Facebook event and seeing the looking at for the right picture to post. You know, nice. I looked and I was like, holy shit! There was a lot of people.
It was packed in there. So we'll have a little bit more breathing room this year. Like I said, there'll be players. There'll be front office staff. We may even get a visit from our coach. We know Jeremy will be there to talk about things. And we'll just start making some plans, and it's a good opportunity to meet people. If you were a part of the group last year, you'll see friends that maybe you haven't seen in the off season.
If you're new, come out. This is where we've always made the best
impression.
Yeah, definitely.
And the best interaction, too, because you're in a crowded room with people that are there for the same purpose as you. It's hard to not be a stranger.
Yeah, and it's a relaxed atmosphere. AGM sounds very formal. We have, you know, half hour or so of presentation, and then it's mostly just mingling and getting to know each other. So come out. It's from 4 to 7. You know, one guy said he's working. Can he come later? Please do. You know, just hang out, meet everybody, and we'll have different things on display. We will not, unfortunately, have the scarves done. That was the plan. We ordered them early, knowing it was going to be in February, but the meeting is actually earlier than we even anticipated. So the scarves will not be done, but We'll have those at the next preseason game or whatever.
It'll be kind of nice not to have to worry about all that kind of stuff.
It was a busy day last year trying to, you know, hand out 200 scarves and all that. But come out, have fun, drink some beer.
If you're not going to be there, I'm going to talk to Shafley and figure out how to get this recorded so we can share it as a podcast. Or if you want to listen to it again at a later time and see what you missed out on or find something offensive that we say, because that's what we do.
Someone will have a problem. So please, come out. Have fun.
They always do.
There's no cost.
Nope.
We will be talking about membership dues. We're still crunching the numbers to see what it's going to be this year.
I have a feeling it's probably going to be...
Whatever it is, you're going to have to times it by zero.
Yeah. Yeah.
We're gonna do some work. We hope to not have to increase it too much, but...
I imagine it's probably going to go up this year the same percentage it went up last year.
Yeah. I mean,
I think that's a safe guess.
A small percentage increase.
I think it's a safe guess. Yeah. So that's usually what it is.
You'll want to be there so you can pay your dues.
Yeah. And bring money for drinking.
Bring money for drinking, exactly.
I mean, we're in a brewery. Where else?
Yeah, we'll also, I mean, like I said, we'll have team members there to talk about, answer any questions you might have about the upcoming season. So
please,
that's always good
too. Please cut down on the uncomfortable stalking of said players.
If you have not bought your season tickets, it's also a time to come out, and I'm sure Darian will be there, Jeremy Cowan will be there. They'll be willing to take your season ticket information. So I don't know why you haven't bought them, but you should.
There's no reason not to at this point.
Yep.
I mean, and especially now.
Let's go ahead and talk about that. There's a season ticket deadline on February 1st, which is Wednesday. You need to get in before then if you want to make sure you get the season ticket holder scarf and get an entry into their thrilling 30 for 30 giveaways. So
it's a good looking scarf.
Good looking scarf.
It really is.
Update on Section 8 and 9. We are down below 150 tickets left in those sections. But on February 1st, if you have not renewed your tickets from last year, they will release those. So maybe some people have been waiting around to renew. They won't hold your spot anymore after February 1st. So get on it.
And after it. I mean, we're seeing people. Somebody posted on Facebook today. They bought their tickets today. There's still time to buy the tickets. Get your tickets while you can, because once the season gets going, it's going to be a good year.
Yes, let's talk about.
It's a hope that kills you.
The season's coming. Let's talk about the preseason. They've announced three friendlies. These are all going to be down in Florida. The team's going down at IMG Academy, which is obviously a famous academy down there in Florida.
It's like Hogwarts.
It's like Hogwarts.
Okay.
The 21st of February, they will play Ottawa Fury. The 22nd, they will play DC United. And on the 25th, there will be a closed-door friendly at Orlando City's new stadium, which is kind of nice.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. We're waiting on information. We know some of these games will be streamed. We don't know which ones. We don't know any details yet. But watch social media for that. We will be able to... maybe get together at ITAP for a preseason game and watch.
Be aware of the IMG games last year. I remember FC Cincinnati went down there and a couple other USL teams. IMG tend to stream the games, but you have to pay. So I'm giving you a heads up now. Don't in a week's time when you find out you know it's $15 or whatever. Don't have a conniption.
It sounds like an even better reason to have a watch party at ITAP.
So yeah, we'll figure something out. We'll offer something for those of you that don't want to pay. Or maybe you want to buy me a beer instead of pay. We'll figure something out. Or you.
Why not both?
Both. Just Bird's off the beer, so you don't have to buy him a beer, but you can buy three beers, and Mitch and I can have to share the third one.
That works, too.
All right.
We can Bird can still accept the free beers and just hand
don't
them
to us. Don't
turn
down any beers, Matt.
Somebody says, can I buy you a beer? Don't say no. Just say, what would Mitch and Brad like?
That's right.
Since when did you start drinking IPA, Matt?
And then we got some more news about the actual schedule. I know people are complaining because we don't have the full schedule yet. But
can we back up a second?
Yep.
Back to the preseason?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Is that there's rumors going around that there's going to be even more preseason
there
games?
Will be. There will be more added. Jeremy told us the ink is not quite dry on the contract, so they can't announce them. But yes, there are more coming. There will be, I don't want to say where, but we know they'll be local-ish, so we can make some
drivable
trips to see some games.
I guarantee it won't be against Rayo OKC this year.
None against Rayo OKC.
Or the Cosmos.
But there might be some other teams that we will see in the preseason.
But the thing is that
we're no longer in the West, but we might see some Western opponents.
The thing I'd like to kind of just point out to everybody, though, is that we're talking roughly in this, let's just say there's three known. We'll just say there's maybe two or three to come that were, you know, just guesstimate. It might be one. It might be five. We'll just say there's 5 to 6 preseason games. Years, the past 2 years, it was maybe 5 or 6 preseason games total between the 2 years.
Right.
They are front-loading some good preseason workouts here.
Well, they're
going to
have
to, team gelled.
They're going to have this team gelled because, man, we got to come out at Louisville, hit the ground running.
And, you know, Jeremy has said, you know, Preki doesn't believe in overworking the boys. He wants them training. He wants them, you know, ready to play as many games as they have to play. And he doesn't care if they, you know, some coaches like, oh, I don't want to work them too much in the preseason. Preki's not that guy. Preki is going to get his money's worth out of these players.
I used to be of the mindset that, you know, you don't want to overwork in the preseason. But I think that's because, you know, we grew up in an era where there was a good chance that most professional athletes that weren't, you know, the stars had side jobs.
Yeah.
Not anymore.
Yeah.
You know, now it's you come to camp fit and ready to go.
Well, as Matt said, he's got to get this team together.
And he's not daft as well. I think two of those games down in Florida are the day after each other.
Yeah.
I mean, there's going to have to be some rotation.
Well, we do know that some of these preseason games, I mean, they're working through things. It's not a full-on 100% pace game.
Yeah.
You know, they're going to be
trying 10 subs.
They're
going to
be
like
trying
that.
Different things out and, you know, running plays. And, you know, that's the other thing. Don't get too panicked if, you know, you see some ugly stuff in the preseason. That's what it's there for. But, yeah, we will see some more. Hopefully, we'll get another game on the berm with SIU. That's always a fun one to go over. But
that's kind of the okay, it's go time. The berm is like the kickoff.
The schedule came out. We're going to that baseball field, and we're going to have to bring it.
That's right.
Because I'm not being funny, and I know some of those twats down there listen to this podcast. But that 5-1 last year still hurts.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Definitely.
Oh,
and I want our players to know. That 5-1 hurts still.
Yeah, and I will go ahead and talk about that. We don't have a full schedule, like I said. This is not uncommon. You know, this is USL standard operating procedure. I expect it this week. It's usually that last week of January, first week of February when the schedule comes out. They teased us. They gave us the openers. We start our season, as Matt said, in Louisville on the baseball field at Slugger. This is a good game to start off with.
It's a great trip. Let's not kid ourselves. If you're gonna go to one away game a year, this is right up there. It's a good time. But
and we will be taking a bus, so
we owe them though.
Man, yeah, we owe them. And they're a good team. They've been near the top of the league the first 2 years they were in it. This is a game for Preki to lay down a marker. This is him to go in and tell people this is a new St. Louis FC.
And it is, and that's the one thing that's kind of, you know, the past 2 years, there's only three guys returning this year. What is it?
There's five. Yeah.
But that's the thing. You know, we're looking at a wholesale changeout. Yep. I mean, this is not the same team of the past 2 years. For if Louisville's thinking they've sucked for 2 years, this, you know, we've got this in the bag, think again.
Yeah.
I mean, and obviously that's high hopes that we're going to gel, but you know,
Louisville's had wholesale changes too. They've got a lot of guys coming back, but I don't think that their main guys have left. Their top echelon has gone.
But O'Connor's a good coach.
He really is.
He does know how to pick out talent. So I'm sure the guys he's bringing in are good. So it's going to be a good test right off the start.
You know, I'm going to be honest. I'm surprised no one's come in for him.
Yeah, I mean, he's a guy.
He is delivered.
He's a guy that, you know, when they start making those rounds of who's the next guy, he's one of those guys.
And well deserved.
And then we follow that up. Our home opener is on April 1st against Ottawa Fury. This is an NASL team. This is another one where it's going to be a test. You know, they're wanting to prove that, you know, they're a superior team, and we're going to have to be ready for that one.
And that's kind of the hard part too, is that, you know, obviously everything changes year to year and team to team, but you know, they're coming into this league. They're very different leagues, the way they're built, the way they play, the style of play that you see. You know, they're going to have to adjust to us as much as we're going to have to adjust to them. I'm really curious to see how they adjust coming
into both them and the Rowdies. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you know, the salary cap, or I shouldn't say salary cap, but, you know, you have a different behavior in terms of signing player. It's a different ballgame.
And we don't know about the week after that, but because we got all the openers, Cincy's home opener is on 4/15, and they're hosting us, another really good team.
And another away day.
So
it's Easter weekend, though.
It's Easter weekend. I'm not sure. We'll have to wait and gauge interest. We probably won't get a bus for that one.
No, but I mean,
but we probably will do some carpooling caravans. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Cincy's, you know, again, they're doing everything right off the field. They're averaging 17,000 fans or whatever last year. It's going to be a big game, and it's another statement game.
Yeah, it's another marker game, absolutely.
Preki going up against John Harkes, you know, that's sexy from a coaching standpoint. If we truly want to be one of the teams in the East to contend with, that's a good marker right there.
Absolutely.
Well, and that's the thing. Three of your first games are marker games.
Right. I mean, we're not sneaking into the season. We're going to have to hit the ground running, and – you know, Preki, you know, we put a lot of hype on him. We put a lot of trust in him. It's sink or swim time right off the bat.
Yeah, you can't go down three games out of your first four.
No, him and his Eastern European homeboys, they're going to get it done. Iron Curtain FC, man, I'm telling you, it's happening.
Yeah, and I mean, we are putting a team together. I am happy with this team. But like you mentioned earlier, a lot of parts that have to gel quickly. I mean, it could be a situation where we're a good team, but we're not quite ready yet at the start of the season. So, but there's not any time to goof around. So hopefully they hit the ground running.
I look at that Mirkovic signing. He is all business. If these guys around him don't go to work every day, he's going to be screaming at them on the pitch.
Let's save that discussion. We've got some questions from fans, and I think Mirkovic's name is going to come up later on in the discussion. So basically, we've laid out three of the preseason games. We've laid out three of the regular season games. Get your tickets. We want you to join us. It's going to be a good time, and I can't wait.
God, It's been a long off season. It really has.
Yes. Let's give a couple more congratulations out there. Our friend Mike Ambersley has finally called it quits since our last podcast. He's retiring.
Finally.
I didn't mean it that way. I meant he's had a long, good career.
Journeyman, man. Proper journeyman pro.
He's made a living doing what he loves, and he's decided to call it quits. So congratulations, Mike. Those of us who are around for AC St. Louis remember him from back in those days, and he was our first big signing with St. Louis FC.
First Luligan player of the year.
Just want to say thanks, Mike Ambersley.
Definitely.
For everything you've given to the sport.
And I'm sure we'll see him around the park.
I hope to see him living in St. Louis and coming out and saying hi to everybody, maybe even doing a little coaching. So
I got to imagine he's got a lot to share.
Another congratulations. I want to give a big shout out to our friend Irvin Herrera.
Yeah, baby.
Big game for El Salvador. He got the game-winning goal.
Oh, I love seeing that somersault into the corner. I just got goosebumps watching him, man. I've never watched an El Salvador game in my life, but yeah. Seeing that, I was like, attaboy.
Well, he backflipped his way into the Gold Cup. He'll be taking El Salvador into the Gold Cup, and those games will be here in the United States, and maybe we'll get a chance to see Irvin, depending on where those games get slotted. Be nice if it was someplace close
by. Kansas City,
Chicago
kind of thing.
You know, some of us can go mm-hmm. see Irvin. So, congrats.
I think we got to really come up with a good Herrera song this year. I think that needs to be on the docket.
Whatever it is, I'll sing it, because, man, that kid's special. I'm glad we kept him.
I am. You know, just he was the tonic that we needed last year. I mean, there wasn't
Without him, it would have been a dreadful season last year.
But
suicidal.
Yeah. 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 But, you know, talking to Such, I'd really like to see Vince play again. Even though he's not coming back here, I'd like to see him in the leagues.
Oh, yeah. There's a lot of guys. We will be watching them. We will be giving updates on Twitter when, you know, our guys do well somewhere else. You know, some of them are in the West. We'll be seeing Sam and Richard Dixon in Oklahoma City. Hopefully we'll get a preseason game or maybe one of the regional rivalries against Oklahoma City. Be nice to see those guys.
Parker and James Musa out in Swope.
In Swope, yep. That breaks my heart because I don't want anything good to happen to Swope. I do like both of those guys a whole lot, and I wish them well.
Just not Swope.
No. I would like them to be the Urban Herrera for their team.
I'd like them to win the lottery and go leave.
That'd be nice.
I want nice things to happen to them, yes. Just not with that club.
We'll pay to play someplace else. Okay, before we get to questions, let's get to the elephant in the room, the hashtag MLS2STL. If you've been watching on Twitter, which is where most of the news is happening.
Again, major credit to Mike Falk.
Yes, please follow Mike Falk from the Post-Dispatch. He's doing tons of good work there. Where it stands right now, for those of you who haven't decided to pay attention as much as we have, and good on you because it's
you're
been,
better off.
It's been a headache. The Ways and Means Committee voted to move the stadium to the full Board of Aldermen. Today there was a Board of Aldermen meeting, and they decided to pass the pass the bill on to be voted on by the full Board of Aldermen.
It had to be voted on to be voted on to be voted on.
Exactly. So it looks like Friday there will be a full vote on whether this will be on the April ballot so the public can vote.
28 well, even before that, it's got to go in front of a judge, too.
And then it will have to go on through
before
judge.
Before it goes to the actual
because
April
we've
ballot.
Missed the deadline to put it on the ballot without right. a judge's say-so.
I'm falling asleep just listening
it
to
it. It is it's crazy.
It is mind-numbing. It is boring. But
there's 28 aldermen. You have to have
15
out of the 28 for it to pass. They had 15 today.
That's 17 today.
Or 17 today.
I don't understand why that's not good enough, but it's not.
So that's the good thing, is that it's merely a formality at this point in time to get to the judge. The judge, as Brad said, has to say, yes, this is worthy enough to be put on the ballot, even though you missed it.
Which I think that's sort of a formality.
I think so, too. Unless there's an injunction or something like that, which I doubt is going to happen at this point in time because it'd be career suicide. But that hasn't stopped politicians.
Do you not feel that the zeitgeist is changing a little?
A little bit.
I do, and I tell you why. Because even though I think a couple of the aldermen were being huge sticks in the mud mm-hmm. and pains in the ass, I think they did improve the bill.
Absolutely.
I think they did.
I did too.
But I also think they've seen that there's other cities in the mix here. Right. And you know,
I do think that they saw that the public tide is in favor. They knew you had to improve it from what it was, or at least get the terminology better defined. I think that's probably a better way of saying it.
And trust us, when this is all said and done, we will have an expert on to describe all the different ways the financing is working. But they did sharpen some pencils, and it looks like St. Louis's contribution will be less than the $60 million it was last time. And they're going to do that partially through a tax. They're going to do that partially.
A ticket tax.
I'm okay with that. I spoke to Tony about that, and he made it. If it's a 5% tax and it's a $400 season ticket, then it's becomes a $420 season ticket.
And
I'm okay with that.
The only reason I want to stop you guys right now is because it's come out today that may not be feasible.
my
SCSTL said they will cover it one way or the other. But
My major issue with it is that the Cardinals don't have to pay it. The Blues didn't have to for a certain period. I think they do now. But it's always been a tax that the city has kind of flip-flopped on. You know, oh, well, we'll do it now. We won't do it now. You either do it for everybody or you do it for nobody. You know, I have a problem with that. Now, if you want to take that and you make it strictly a bond issue, that or however you want to phrase it, that it's going to pay for this debt that's being incurred, that's fine. But make sure there's a consistency to it.
And at a certain point, we have to recognize that this is a bit of a shell game, because that tax money isn't going directly to the stadium. That tax money goes into the general fund of the city, which covers any potential that the stadium would cost the city money. It's really complicated, and there's 100 moving parts. There's TIF money involved, and that's being renegotiated from another source. But ultimately, the city is going to pay less than they were, so that's a good thing. And I don't think anybody's against MLS coming to St. Louis.
I disagree. I think there are some people. Well,
there are some haters out there, but most people, their main problem is the funding issue, and I totally get that. I've seen the John Oliver piece where the stadiums, lose money, but I also think there are things that a stadium and a sports team bring to town, and it's not easy to quantify. It's not easy to, count the money that is brought in, but the whole rising tide lifts all boats, I think it brings money into the city.
But why I think the whole John Oliver thing was more about was, you look at clubs like the Texas Rangers, and they play that ball field in Arlington, Texas. It's 20 years old, and they're talking about a new stadium already.
Right.
The Columbus Crew are talking about a new stadium. Theirs is 17 years old. I mean,
well, and it was also about the hostage, sort of mentality that we just went through with St. Louis, and don't kid yourself, that hangover from the Kroenke deal is a lot of what's going on here.
I wouldn't be against the city putting a stipulation in, like, you're here. Yeah. You are here for good.
There is a no relocation clause in
there. Has to be. Yeah. And they can't be going back to the city in 20 years and saying, build us a new stadium. And
right.
This is our stadium, and this is what it'll be.
And for that, I say, congratulations to the aldermen. Good job. They're doing their due diligence to get this bill right, to make sure, the team won't move, to make sure the ownership's going to cover the cost of maintenance for the first 30 years. The ownership's going to cover any cost overruns. They're making sure everything looks right. And ultimately, making the bill look better is in all of our best interest, because when it goes to the voters,
it's
got more of a chance of passing. Now, that said, SCSTL, Kavanaugh's group, they're going to have to do a much better job at PR than they have up to this point. They've got to get their message out. They've got to get the campaign going. We're more than happy to help spread the message, but it's on them to sell this to the public.
And in clear, concise terms.
Right. It's got to be simple.
That's the number one part, is that if it's not, the average person is just going to see Kroenke 2 and they're not going to put up with it. The other part about it is that... And you mentioned that the aldermen doing their due diligence. I do believe that there are still a few that are grandstanding.
Oh, definitely.
And
especially the ones running for mayor.
Yes. I was going to say, there's no coincidence that it's usually the ones that are running for mayor. And it's frustrating as a non-city resident, and I realize that's, everybody says, you don't live in the city, you don't tell me how to spend my money. But that's fine.
It's a sales tax.
Yes, it's a sales tax.
And the city-county divide is part of the reason we're in this. I mean, there were so many people, lashing out, wanting the county to pay for it or wanting to move it to the county. It's a function of the way the system's set up that the county can't, there's not a good way for the county to contribute to it, because the county's not going to get any of the revenue from it.
And that's the disadvantage St. Louis has. You look at Charlotte City is the size of St. Louis County.
Right.
It encompasses 2 million people.
Right. And Nashville and Charlotte and a lot of other public, ventures are putting money into it, that there's not that divide. There's not that argument between county and city.
And the thing is, I think it really starts with the people first. The idea of, don't tell me how to spend, you don't live here, you don't get to tell me how to spend my money. And vice versa of, I'm not going to go into the city because it's a shithole. These are the things that we're going to have to overcome. I do think that a new pretty place to go does make a difference. You see IKEA, as much as I make fun of how much money they got for it, which they got a ridiculous amount. But it's an asset to the city.
It is an asset.
And you look at the area around it. I used to live in a loft across the street from it. It looks ridiculously different than it did 20 years ago when I lived there. The Grove is right down the street. It's being built up. There is a tangible result of these kind of improvements happening. if you want your city to get better, you have to contribute to it. You can't expect somebody to come in and do it for you.
Oh yeah, this
and we are falling behind other cities.
Absolutely.
In the Midwest.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And it doesn't matter if it's a stadium, it could be an aquarium, it could be a natural history museum, it doesn't matter. These are the things we need to do.
And I'll add, you know, there's some hate going on Twitter because, well, that's what Twitter's made for. But people complaining about, well, we need to do Scott Trade first. Don't get me wrong. I think we need to do Scott Trade too. Mm-hmm. It needs improvements. We can't let it fall apart or we start losing events there.
Yep.
I'm not saying soccer is more important than the Blues. I'm not saying soccer is more important than the upgrades that need to happen at the Dome.
They both got the same amount of championships.
The convention center. Well, that's true. You know, if this was for the aquarium or for the Ferris wheel or for the art museum, these are all things that help make your city a destination.
It's a city, and there are benefits to living in a city, but you have to pay for them.
Right. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, the county is separate from the city. They've separated themselves, or the city is, you know, you can blame both of them. They've both had their turns at the wheel. But it does make our city a better place. It makes it a destination. It makes it, you know, a place for millennials to want to move. St. Louis has become a hub for startup activity, and they're hiring millennials, and they want to move downtown, and they want amenities. They want things like the soccer stadium. So,
and the thing that always bothers me the most is that everybody says it's a city-county thing. No, there's actually like seven counties at play here.
Exactly.
It's not St. Louis County. It's St. Charles County. It's Jefferson County. It's St. Clair. It's Madison. It's all these.
It's even on the east side. The counties over
Clair
there.
St. Clair and
Madison. Oh, okay.
Absolutely right. You can't have a vibrant St. Charles without a vibrant St. Louis.
Yes.
Right.
And vice versa.
Yes.
You know, and that's what frustrates me to no end about this whole conversation is that we all need to do our part. St. Charles has done a nice job with the down, you know, the walk waterfront, and that's fine. But now let's build in between the two. Let's get everybody doing their own parts, and that's really what it comes down to. You have to take care of your shit. You know,
and let's address, okay, I got in a little trouble this week on Twitter or on Facebook because I said I'm not going to talk about it anymore. The question has been answered enough, but let's address, first of all, the Dome.
Hold on. I got to get angry for a moment.
Okay.
Fuck this.
Okay.
The people who keep saying, well, you know, you're not being polite about it. Brad does this for free. Maybe the occasional scarf or shirt or what have you. He's managing the Twitter and the Facebook. Every day, four times a day, in a thread that he has posted four or five articles a day, somebody says, why not use the Dome? Why not go to the county? Why not do this? If you had a job where you got asked the same question several times a day by the same people who refuse to look at other things around. It's like that scene in Clerks where the guy holds up something and says, how much is this? And behind him is a sign that says everything's a dollar or whatever right. It is. So if you think that Brad's being rude or he isn't patient enough, put yourself in his shoes because this is a fucking ridiculous thing to keep having to answer.
Okay, that said, the Dome won't work. there's a multitude of reasons, but primarily the Dome is finally being used as a convention center, which was the initial goal.
And making buku.
They're making more money than they ever did when the Rams were here because you basically had to cross off half the year.
Three quarters, actually. We did the math on it. It was actually three quarters of the year.
So if you move the soccer team back in, the convention center goes back to making no money.
And to get it to that point that you can, you have to do a major overhaul at the cost of?
At least $200 million is what the estimates were. A regulation FIFA field will not fit in the Dome. Those friendlies that were played at the Dome were not regulation, you know, sanctioned soccer games.
The grass, they laid the grass down at the cost of $200,000 for that Real Madrid game. They laid it a couple of days before the game, and it was already dying by the time of the game.
Because you can't get natural light into a dome.
Grass doesn't photosynthesize in the dark.
And some will say you can do artificial turf. There are fields that do artificial turf. Technically, you're right. There are some fields, but MLS is getting away from that. They don't want that. Your big stars won't come and play if it's artificial turf. And we'd have to rip out the lower bowl and redo the seating there to fit the actual size field. The other option is people say just pop off the top of the dome. Not that easy.
But also, but also you get into that. You're also getting into that sphere of 20,000 people in a 44,000 seat stadium, 56,000 seat stadium, where it will look bad
and it'll sound bad.
Oh, so, I love the pop the top off one. That's my favorite because as somebody that loves cars, I'm not a car guy. Like you know, I'm not going to tell you all the blah blah. But I know enough that if you cut the top off a car, you have to put in a structural brace.
Yeah, it doesn't make it a convertible just by chopping the top off.
You have to do bracing to hold up the sides, or else when you go around a curve, your car will bend.
Right, and this dome was not designed to have the top removed. Yes. Some are.
Some are.
But this one was not. So you're going to spend more money than you would on a brand new specific stadium.
The money that you would put in changing the dome into a soccer stadium, you could actually get a better soccer stadium than what we're asking for.
Yeah, so...
It's foolish.
It's off. Second of all, put it in the county. It's just not going to work, kids. MLS has done their research. They want it in the city.
It's not even research. They've done that experiment.
Yeah.
Yes. They put a team in Frisco, Texas, now, where one man and his dog goes to watch one of the best teams in MLS.
Chicago. Chicago's out in the burbs.
Yeah. They're playing the All-Star game at the Soldier Field.
And here's what everybody says. But Kansas City. Fine. It's working in Kansas City. They've built a nice little area around their stadium.
The exception doesn't define the rule.
But it's an outlier.
But I always say Kansas City was desperate for a stadium. They needed a stadium, or they were going to have to move, because they went from Arrowhead, which those of us who went to the Wiz games at the Arrowhead.
4,000 people in a 60,000-foot football stadium.
It was god-awful. Now, you go to a Sporting Kansas City game, the atmosphere is amazing.
But they also, Sporting KC, spent a season playing in that minor league ball field next door. Right. So they were already used to going out there.
And that's what I was going to say. They were playing in a 10,000-seat minor league baseball stadium. They needed something done, and that's where they could get it done.
And second part of this, too, is that you also have to remember that this was also being done with a rebrand.
Yeah.
So we're going from playing in this cavernous football stadium. We're going to be a little bit more, and I hate to say craft beer about it, but it's like, oh, no, we're not doing this big commercial thing. We're going to go small and intimate, and we're having this rebrand, and we're going to be more hip and more millennial, for a lack of a better word.
And on top of all this, they're a legacy team.
Yep.
They were one of the original MLS teams. They're going to get a little leeway. That's why the Patriots are still playing at Foxborough.
You took the right next words out of my mouth.
The Revolution.
The Revolution are playing in Patriot Stadium.
Yeah.
This is a brand new team. And guess what? The MLS can be as choosy as they want.
They count with 10 cities knocking on the
door. Now there's 12. Garber said today there are 12. So there are 12 cities vying for four spots. You can tell MLS, no, we've got a plan to put it in the suburbs. And MLS will say, thank you very much. We've decided to go a different direction.
Yeah.
So it's going to be downtown.
If they say that we have to wear purple and orange kits, or teal and fuchsia, guess what we're wearing?
We are at the behest of the league if we want to be in that league.
It is not. That's the other thing, too. You have to understand, this is not a traditional franchising.
Yeah.
The league owns the players. They own everything.
Now, one other thing I want to say is... With regards to...
I'm biting my tongue at that.
Well, no. We're not saying that's good.
No,
we're
I know.
This is the game we're playing. So that's what we have to do.
When we have an alderman saying, well, why do we have to pay $150 million?
Did you hear what? What a grandstanding prick that French guy is.
Oh, it
what
was ridiculous.
But that's what it costs, sir. Yeah,
it was great because I went out to the dealership that's out in the out in Chesterfield, right off 40, and I walked in, I saw a Lamborghini, and I said, I'm only going to pay $22 for this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because it's the same concept.
Why do you have to spend $250,000?
I don't have to. I can spend less.
One more point about the county, and Mitch touched on this when he listed all the different counties around St. Louis. It's because the fans come from all of those counties. It's a misnomer when people say all of your fans are coming from St. Charles, or all of your fans are coming from West County. Putting it in a downtown location makes it central to everyone.
Brad, where do you live?
I live in Jefferson County.
Bird, where do you live?
St. Charles.
I live in Fenton.
We've got friends that live on the east side.
Alton. Edwardsville.
Edwardsville. Belleville. We've got friends that live in Florissant. We've got friends that live,
Wentzville.
Chesterfield. So all of these people...
Springfield, Missouri.
Well, we do have Springfield, Missouri. We've got Springfield, Illinois. All of these people would be coming to games, and the only way to make it easy for everyone is to make it downtown.
It's a centralized location. Bird posted on Facebook on a thread, and somebody got snooty with him, and I was proud that you didn't call the guy a twunt. But all the highways converge downtown for a reason.
Right.
And it's that simple. And that's not my quote. That's Twelman's quote from that Wash U talk.
Absolutely. All the highways converge. And not only that, but we have connecting highways in 270 and 170 that will get you from the corners into the central corridor.
Right. And I get it when people say St. Louis is not the most friendly neighborhood in the world today. St. Louis, a lot of parts of it are pretty bad. There's a lot of crime. The murder rate is high.
We had 9 murders in the first 2 weeks.
We need to do something to fix that. I'm not going to fall into the argument of it's cops versus a stadium. Again, we need to do both.
But I'm bothered by that because the two are not directly linked.
If the civic leaders in the city can't do their job and fix crime, doesn't mean we can't have nice things.
Right.
And the other thing is, too, is that a stadium is going to bring revenue. You're going to have tickets sold and merchandise sold and drinks and food and events held there and parking. And all those people pay taxes when they make those purchases. And those purchases, that tax goes into the coffers.
Right.
And the cops get, you know, overtime to go do security. And the guy who's got a job gets a second job selling beer. That's all puts back into the economy. It's basic economics.
And anything that gets people downtown will help.
Because they're going to leave there and they're going to go to the Hard Rock at Union Station.
And my point is, yes, it's bad. And yes, I'm sure some people avoid St. Louis because of the crime. But my wife and I have an anniversary dinner this week. We're going downtown for a dinner. My daughter wanted to go see a concert last weekend. My wife took her downtown to the concert.
Our AGM.
We're going downtown for that. There's a Blues game. We're going downtown to see that. There's a Cardinals game. I go downtown to see the Cardinals. We do go downtown. It's not as bad as some people make it out to be.
Yeah, it's not Beirut.
I wish it was better. I wish the statistics weren't. But I can tell you I've been downtown roughly 10,000 times in my lifetime. I have never been shot once.
I worked downtown. I worked downtown for 8 years.
Yes.
Literally.
It needs to be better.
3 blocks away from the dome.
It needs to be better, but putting it downtown is not going to be a deterrent to attendance.
No, and the other thing is too is that the location that it's going into is an area that's on the upswing. They're redoing Union Station. SLU is a mile away. You have all this area being built back up. This is how it gets built back up.
And I hate to tell you, people, it's not the soccer moms they're going after.
No, not at
no,
all.
No,
that's,
at
not
all.
The, that's not the demographic they want.
Because those people will go to one game a year.
Right.
The millennials, or in our case, 41-year-old assholes.
Soccer fans and millennials.
Will buy season tickets.
They want it to be a part of their life.
And that's what this comes down to.
And those are the people they're chasing. That's the money they want.
And that's what it is. And hell, we're doing this for a USL team right now.
Right. So it's going downtown, whether you like it or not. So... You can complain about it. You can gripe about it. You can give me all the reasons in the world. I don't care. The stadium's going downtown.
Not a damn thing any of us can do about it. Not a damn thing you can do about it. There's not a thing that Kavanaugh can do about it.
That's where it's going to be.
That's it.
I do want to mention today at the Board of Aldermen meeting, it's a lot of nonsense. It's a lot of hype. It's a lot of, procedure. But at one point... Christine Ingracia, who is the founder of the bill, was asked, did you ever approach the foundry about their $80 million offer? And she said both her and Mayor Slay had reached out to the foundry and had found that they couldn't really back up that offer they made. So that's all I want to say about the foundry. Those of you who want to know why aren't we talking to them about the $80 million, it was addressed and they didn't have it, period.
I would like it to be on record that I did not say anything about it.
Nope. This was Christine Ingracia and Mayor Slay speaking to the foundry. So that's that.
End of story.
I also want to say there's a lot of Twitter experts out there.
Frauds.
There's a lot of Twitter experts out there, and they're going to be giving you their spin over the next couple of weeks. if you want the real news, follow Mike Falk, as we mentioned before. Rachel Lipman from the NPR is doing a hell of a job.
Oh, my God, yes.
And Brian Felt from the Business Journal. He's doing some good stuff. So those are the three who really have what's going on.
And the thing is, it's as non-biased as it gets. I mean, these are people whose job it is to report on facts. They're not opinionated assholes from Houston.
Right.
They are.
Oh, the Blues are moving that, didn't you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And I'll add this. If you want a little more, in addition to resources like our podcast, where a couple weeks ago we talked to Jim Cavanaugh, who happens to be the vice chair of the group, you can listen to shows on KFNS. They've had the morning after show's been really good. They get aldermen on. They get the principals involved with bringing the team to town. They get Brian Strauss. They get people like that to talk about all aspects of it. That's a good show.
Can't believe I'm going to say this. Frank Cusimano has done a fantastic job.
Cusimano, Tim McKernan, and then also on 550 KTRS, McGraw, Millhaven, his show, morning show, he's gotten a lot of good guests on. So listen to those shows in the morning, and you hear some pretty good information there, too. So
do want to thank KSDK for having a couple of Lulligans on last week.
Yeah, that was kind of nice. Karen and Jen and Stuart.
Yep, they managed to get on and give a little opinion piece. They were at the Amsterdam, and KSDK stopped by.
And while we're talking about it, my friend Mitch Maurice, you were on, what was it, KTVI?
Yep, they came. We were going to do it down here, but Rocky Madden.
Rocky Madden came to the Lulligan studio.
You don't get to get on the couch. We'll do it at the kitchen table. But they were interested in what we're doing, and they want to stay involved with it, and that's great. You want to hear that the local media is getting involved. Fake news.
Yeah. So the next point after they pass this Board of Aldermen, it will go to a public vote, and at that point, we will be talking to different people. We will be telling people we want to get together and have different events, you know, rallies and whatnot.
We're having big old gobbins. Fatheads,
yeah,
like
Garver fatheads, and
can we meet him off his plane at a private airfield?
That's the thing. Again, there's a lot of people on Twitter talking. We actually do talk to the players involved with St. Louis FC, and they give us heads up, and they ask us what we think about different things, and they will be contacting us and seeing if we can help them raise awareness. So we will be, doing that stuff. So just follow us on social media for more of that. In the meantime, I do want to give a recommendation for, if you have Netflix, Sons of Ben.
Holy
is a documentary
shit.
On Netflix. Amazing movie. It's about the time in our period in 2010 when Jeff Cooper here in St. Louis was vying to get that MLS franchise. Those of us who were at AC St. Louis remember Jeff Cooper as the owner of that team. Didn't work out so well, but during that same time, the people of Philadelphia were gearing up to get their team. And Sons of Ben is a documentary about the supporters group that existed before the team. Does that sound familiar? Yes, it does. But it's a good story of, if you watch it, you see a lot of the things that we're going through now, they went through in 2010, so...
It was incredibly familiar, just what they went through compared to what we're going through now, what we went through at that time. They took some pot shots at the same people that we had problems with in the St. Louis soccer scene.
Yes.
You know, but much like Sons of Ben, we're still standing and moving forward.
Yeah, if you're interested in this at all, if you're kind of into this because of the MLS to St. Louis movement, watch that movie, Sons of Ben. Do yourself a favor. Good movie.
It really is good.
I think that's all we really need to say about MLS to St. Louis. I know.
Yeah, I'd like to be done with it.
Matt Bird is about to have an aneurysm because
no, I'm not.
He wants a stadium, but he doesn't care about
it. It's right for the city, and it's a city that my kid's going to grow up in. So it's the right thing to do.
There you go.
And you know, I can sit here wishing and hoping for an open pyramid or whatever. It's right here, right now, this is the right thing to do for St. Louis, and I love living here, so it's the right thing to do.
All right. We've got some questions from fans if you guys want to answer some of these. It's been a while since we've taken some questions, so.
I know.
Let's start with Mark Gardner.
This podcast brought to you by Your Electric. Call Mark Gardner for all your electric needs. Your Electric.
Anytime Mark Gardner wants to ask a question, he gets to ask a question.
Goddamn right.
He wants to know, Academy kids, have we heard anything about last year was the first year that USL teams could sign academy kids and have them train. And actually, the last game of the year, one of our academy kids actually got some time.
Yeah.
So he wants to know.
We had nothing to lose.
That's true. He wants to know anything we know about the academy system. The only thing I know is I know Preki likes it.
Yes.
I know Preki spent a lot of time out there watching our academy
kids
train.
You know what? But this goes also. We can touch on this with regards to the MLS, right? Because we are not going to have to also stump up as a city for a training field, training academy, or, you know, and all that right off the bat.
It's already built. Yeah.
We've already got it. And, you know, it's already in place. And, you know, it just continues the good work that has gone on before.
See, I thought he was going to go on a rant about how.
No.
If we have an academy kid, that he could be a homegrown player for an MLS team.
Well, I was going to say that there are four guys right now, four or five Scott Gallagher kids who are in the U.S. development system. And I mean, by that, I mean on the first teams of the U18s, the yep. U17s, the U15s.
Sergeant just got brought to the U20s, and he's only 17,
and
right?
And Sergeant's yep. catching some major eyes from European clubs. I expect him to sign with a European club sometime this summer. These are all kids that could be starting for your St. Louis MLS team. So the St. Louis Scott Gallagher system, say what you want. I know there are detractors. I know not everybody loves them.
I'm one of the biggest ones usually.
But they do crank out some players. So
again, it's the 500-pound gorilla. They get the best they can, and rightfully so. When you're that big, you get what you want.
And that will be pumping into an MLS team here. So
yeah, again, the infrastructure is there. It works out perfectly.
So in answer to your question, Mark, I do not know specifically, but I would imagine we will take advantage of that rule. If it lets us sign a few academy players to practice with the squad and or play, I'm sure Preki's got his eyes on them.
I suspect they'll let a bunch of the guys play in the PDL first, and you'll probably see a more guys getting promoted up into the first team and the first team practice squad and all that
right.
once the PDL seasons come to a finish in May.
That's yep. a valid point.
That sounds good. Mark would also like to know, will there be more signings or are we done? There have to be a few more.
There's got
to
be some more.
Yeah, I think we're only at like 18, I think.
Right now, I think we've got three forwards, we've got seven midfielders and five defenders and one goalkeeper. So we need at least a couple more.
Absolutely. But with regards to the fact that the Fire have disappeared, I don't think we've talked about
that
since the last
time. We're going to get to that in one of these questions.
Right.
Why don't we just go to that question?
Okay,
then?
Let's see here. Who was it? Justin Fullerton wants to know what happened to the Chicago Fire relationship, and he wants to know why it's off. I think we can say, first of all, it's not officially off. They haven't released anything, but it's off.
But let's be honest. The Fire are a dumpster fire.
No, they are. But we got some
good players.
Decent players.
But
from
most
them.
Of the time, we got them the first. When we say that, most of the benefits were in that first year when we got Duty and Can
yeah.
and a handful of guys. Last year, we got a Connor, mm-hmm. Drew Connor.
For a few games.
But yeah. we only had him for a few games because they had to call him up because they sucked.
And Connor deserved his call.
And Connor did. There is no slight against that. And Duty stayed up and he had some health issues too. But we got nothing from them of value when we needed help.
And I will say, you know, that last year Chicago Fire had a big regime change. They had a new coach. They had a new general manager. They've had a year to play with things now. This year we've had a big regime change. It's been rumored that Preki did not like working with San Jose when he was in Sacramento.
I think he was pretty vocal at the time about it.
Right, okay. So maybe it's a little bit of both. Maybe they wanted to go in a different direction. We're hearing rumors that Tulsa will be their affiliate.
And the other part too that we've talked about in our free time is that if we're going to be an MLS team in 5 years or 4 years or whatever three years whatever the math is on it, an affiliation isn't going to do us any good if we have to start building today.
Right.
True.
If in April this thing passes and we're awarded a team, if that's April 4th, April 6th, we start building a team.
But here's also the thing, right? The Colorado Rapids USL affiliate is Charlotte, right? But if they just want to send a guy down for a game, a single game, they go to the Colorado Springs.
Right.
You know, there's nothing saying that, that they're going to send all their guys down to Tulsa.
Yeah, they'll still get loans.
They can, they can still say to Drew Connor, hey, you want to play in St. Louis on Saturday? Go get 90 minutes.
Yeah.
But now Preki's fully in charge of that system, and he can decide, not to say we weren't completely independent last year, but Preki's going to do things the way Preki wants, and he probably didn't want anybody telling him who he should take or whatever. Mm-hmm. He's going to take the guys he wants.
But also the relationship there with the Fire and Jeremy, you know, they've still got each other's phone numbers.
Sure. Oh, yeah, yeah. No, those calls will still happen.
I wasn't a fan of the affiliation system, to be honest. I quite like being our own. Not that we weren't our own team. We are our own team. But if guys were playing, I wanted them to be our guys. That was my own thing. But I think I had a heightened, how can I say this? I think I thought too highly of our players last year. And then when they did send us Drew Connor, I was like, blown away by how good he was. Yeah. I was like, okay, this is gonna work. So I mean, I don't know. I'd like us to be preparing to be our own team without you know affiliation. But I do see the advantage of it too. And you know, whatever.
Yeah.
You trust the powers that be that they'll make it work.
Well,
anyway.
Look, I mean, Cincinnati and Louisville were independent teams last year.
Yeah, it didn't do them anyhow.
They did okay. So. I think we'll be fine. And
Tulsa need help anyway. So
and I don't have to pretend to like the Fire in any way.
I didn't pretend to like the Fire.
Yeah, there's no pretending here.
Jim Bellinger wants to know, when will the new jersey come out? We do know that Jeremy was on 550 last week, and he said it will be before the season starts. And that was because Matt Bird said it's stupid to come out with a jersey the day of the game or midway through the season. So, you can thank Matt Bird. It will be coming out before the season starts.
I will buy it.
But I don't know when.
I have heard someone has seen it, and they say it's pretty sharp looking.
Well, there you go. And we also know that Jeremy...
I have not seen it, so don't ask me what it looks like.
Jeremy mentioned that the Mission Taco warm-up jersey will be coming out soon, and there will be some sort of promotion on Facebook and Twitter about that. Going to be a special event, invitation only. And you'll have a chance to win one of those jerseys. So
I wonder if tacos will be involved.
I would hope so. I love tacos.
Yeah. Anything to go to Mission Taco.
Yes.
I'm game.
The next question, this is from Matthew Gottman or Derek Gottman. Thoughts on the roster and what are, with the different signings that have been made, what should we be looking for in preseason? What's the team going to look like? What's the style of play?
We are going to be hard and no nonsense.
That's what I'm looking at.
And ball control. That's the one thing. You know, you keep looking at every guy that we've signed. This is a possession-based game.
Yep.
I mean, this is not – last year we let the other team dictate the pace a lot of times. These are guys that are going to own the ball.
I'm looking for vocal. I'm looking for screamers. I'm looking for – I'm really got my heart and soul on this Mirkovic being a Roy Keane type. Screaming at players when they F up.
Let's go to, because this ties in, Lucas Dykhouse.
I mean, what do you know about the rest of the
well,
players?
Well, here's the thing. Michael Decker, with all the signings, which players are you most looking forward to? I think you've mentioned Mirkovic. I would say definitely.
Dahlgren. Dahlgren, yeah. The winger from OKC. He was a good player last year.
Dvala, I'm really excited. I mean, St. Louis.
Who?
Gort.
Dvala, yeah.
We've had four goalies here in the – well, three. And every one of them have been good, you know, players. I think that we have a foundation of having a good goalie here, and he's no joke.
I don't know too much about Sheldon and Sharpie, the guys from OC Blues.
Yeah.
I'm looking for, in addition to Mirkovic, Guzman. They played together
at
Sacramento in that 14 season, seeing how they sort of run the midfield together. I'm really looking forward to that partnership.
Plu is a big pick.
Plu is a big one.
That was exactly what I was going to say. I like him a lot.
He won the league last year. And
he's a big dude and strong.
We played when it first started to go wrong in our first season when New York Red Bull came to town, and we all thought it was a a 3-point, you know, a pretty easy 3-point. They ripped us to shreds 4-1, and he scored two of the goals.
Yep.
And he ripped us apart.
And another guy with championship experience.
Absolutely, absolutely. And
Angulo is another one I'm looking forward to. Either he's going to play with Herrera or if they're going to switch out. Another goal scorer that had a good season a few seasons ago, has potential. I'm interested to see what he's like on the ball.
The other person, and he's not new, but I think this is a great opportunity. I think Chad Bond, I think this is a make or break kind of moment for him. You know, we know that he's played for Preki. We know that he's had history, but he also had his best time under Preki. You know, that was when he made a name for himself. I think put last year behind. Let's see what he can do this year.
I thought last year he had a good year.
He had a good year, but
he scored two assists.
I expected a little bit more out of him last year, and I think this year we should see that player that we wanted instead of the player we got.
Yeah, and speaking of guys, I'm looking forward to. Look, we know AJ Cochran is solid.
Yes.
We know Urban Herrera is the real deal. Somebody I'm excited to see that's in the coming back category is Tyler David.
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking for he showed a lot of promise last year. I'm looking for some more growth. Now, he might not get many starting opportunities this year because he's brought in some players.
He's not going to get any worse under Preki, is he?
But he's going to learn a lot, and he's going to be playing with some good quality players. And I'm looking for Tyler David to take a step up this year too.
It's the hope that kills you.
Well, sure,
it's the hope that kills you. I'm just not even going to say it.
Who else are we talking about? I couldn't really keep. I mean, having a job now, I can't keep on the Twitter all the time. I kind of lose touch as to who we've got.
Seth Rudolph's coming back.
Oh, Stoichkov played for Indy 11 last year.
Oh yeah.
That's the one I was.
That'll be a
for.
Good one.
Oh no, he
had a year off.
He had a year off,
but that's he played right. with Indy 11 previously.
Yeah. Oh, we are Ian Curtin FC, aren't we? Poles and Macedonians and Yugoslavs
Serbia.
This is a good question, and it's gonna.
And Wales.
It's going to touch all of us here directly. Well, not Matt so much anymore. Ryan Brockschmidt wants to know, fat people clothes. Is the fan shop going to have fat people clothes?
I've still got moobs. I still need to hide the moobs.
Fuck you. You're a thin guy now, man.
We know Nike is what Nike is. Sometimes they can do it. Sometimes they can't. But we also know that there are going to be a couple more providers this year. Somebody mentioned to me that Arch Apparel, who's a local club, they do some pretty cool St. Louis t-shirts. They may be involved in a few things. And then, what's the name of that company? Sport Design Sweden. That's the name. They do some really cool t-shirts. They do stuff for the Sacramento Republic. So go on Sacramento Republic's team shop. Look at some of the t-shirts they do there. They do stuff for Spurs, Tottenham. And they do stuff for.
It's a legit company.
What's
though.
The name of that club that Zlatan played for in Sweden?
Oh, Malmo.
Malmo. They do some stuff for Malmo. Yeah. That's I guess where they started in Sweden, and so that's another documentary on Netflix you can watch. Becoming Zlatan. If you want to know, was Zlatan always an egotistical bastard?
Yes, he was.
Bet your ass
yes,
he was.
He was.
I enjoyed the movie.
It was good.
So there's going to be some new designs that hopefully will come in the double and triple X range.
I'm going to interrupt for a moment here because something just got posted in our Facebook group.
Uh-oh.
That there's the Louisville Drum Corps have a...
The Groove Machine?
And they have an account now, and it says, the world's most dangerous soccer supporter drum line. We bang better than you bang.
That's just
suck
stupid.
My balls.
That's just stupid.
Fools.
I noticed they also had a skull with a soccer ball as their logo.
I think I've seen that before in Detroit.
And
is it?
Detroit and the Ruckus do it. And
Yeah.
And a skull. That's skull.
Well,
it's interesting.
It's funny that
Groove Machine.
They kind of picked up after we showed them how it's done.
Whatever.
Suckers.
I just want to beat them. I don't care how many fucking drums I've got. I just want to beat them.
That's a good
I cannot wait to watch all the
I'm
Comic-Con outfits be stained with
tears.
Oh,
they are LARPing fools, aren't they? No, but I mean, see, I just want to beat them. I just...
I do too.
We need we need a good away win at a stadium where we're there en masse.
That'll be nice. Let's see.
We need two as well, if you consider Cincinnati.
Fuck that. I want to win everywhere. I don't give a shit. I want to win everywhere.
Next question is from McAdams. Can we get Mike Falk on as a guest sometime? I think we should do that.
I'd like to.
Maybe after the public alderman vote, we can have him on to thank him for all of the coverage he's given. And
I mean, he's a business journalist. He can probably break it down for
right.
us. What,
and maybe he can also give us some insight because he's done so much and he's been talking to so many people. His thoughts on the public vote. So
yeah, maybe we'll see if next show that might be a good one.
Be nice to get Mike Falk on and thank him for all the hard work he's done. Vito Wagner wants to know, any news of a season ticket holder meet the players event? Yes, as a matter of fact, there will be with St. Louis FC. They'll do probably a couple events like they did the last several years. But if you're looking for something quick, I'd suggest coming to the AGM February 11th. There will be players there, and we will introduce you to those players, and you can say hi. And he's looking for a new favorite player, because assuming his old favorite player has left the building like many others, please come out to our meeting, and you can meet your favorite player, whoever that may be. Matt Johnson up from Minnesota wants to know when he will get his scarf. Well, Matt, as soon as the scarves are in, we will do one event, probably a preseason game, where we hand out the majority of them, and after the first official release to local members, we will mail out those that ordered one to be
no,
shown.
No, we're just going
to
send
it. I will hand-deliver it when we play Minnesota United in the Open Cup.
No, I think we should just send it to them before we even get them. That makes sense.
We could do that, too, but it's in the mail. It'll be there.
You should have gotten it by now.
Honestly, I'm expecting the proof from Global Scarves any day now.
I imagine that they're going to show up the week after the AGM.
That's exactly the way it'll happen.
Just after it stops freezing.
Yeah, it'll be 80 degrees out and our scarves will show up.
Yep.
So, no, I'm expecting the proof any day now, and usually when I give the okay on the proof, it takes about 3 weeks for them to finish knitting the run and sending them over here. They're made in England, so takes a while to get here, but they do such a great job. We wouldn't use any other company. So they will get here when they get here, and you will get yours when you get yours. So that's really all I can tell you right now. We do have a couple other events or projects in the works. We're not going to spoil those. Maybe we'll talk about them at the AGM. And
I heard a rumor, and it may just be a rumor.
Yes.
There have been some serious upgrades going on with the tailgate trailer.
It's better that they don't tell me what they're doing, but I'm sure it will be amazing because everything those guys do is amazing.
It is. They should have a Twitter account and say they tailgate harder than you tailgate.
The groove tailgate. they do have a logo with a skull and a grill in it.
They do.
So there you go.
Damn good looking.
Yeah, again, bigger and better every year, and I'm sure the tailgate's gonna surprise and amaze us this year with their great food. They're talking about doing another trivia event. They did one the year before. So,
got to pay for those upgrades somehow.
Got to pay for those upgrades. So we'll let you know if and when that goes on. But as always, our tailgates, some of the best in the league.
Without a doubt. And considering it's all privately done, we're not looking at donations. There's no contributors from, sponsors or anything. It's all.
Yeah, they do it.
It's as DIY as it gets.
They do a good job. It's always good stuff. So
that being said, we could whore it out.
Yeah, we'll whore it out if we need to. Speaking of whoring it out, I have one last thing. Do you guys have any more topics to talk about?
You want to talk about that U.S. game yesterday?
Yeah, you can go ahead and talk about that. it's Camp Cupcake.
It was a bit. It was. It was.
I didn't even bother.
Bad.
I didn't TiVo it. I didn't do nothing.
You can't. People were ragging on the crowd in San Diego. I mean, it's a nothing game.
Yeah.
I mean, I think they got 15,000 out there, and that was pretty good.
Yeah. The only problem, it's a pretty big stadium.
Again, you put 15,000 in a 60,000 seat stadium. It looked awful.
It looked bad.
But yeah, and some people were saying, well, San Diego doesn't deserve a team. I'm not going to throw that on them. I mean, San Diego's a good soccer city, and
it was a nothing game.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it is.
And plus, let's be honest, if you're a soccer fan in San Diego, you are going to every single U.S. game at StubHub anyway.
Right.
You know, you are going to watch the Tijuana. You know, you are going to games.
I imagine a lot of those San Diego fans have season tickets in L.A.
Or at the Zolos.
Or at the Zolos, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, again.
And I'm telling you, that's why MLS is going to San Diego, because the people in San Diego don't need MLS. They go and watch Tijuana, right? Yeah. And MLS can't be seen to not be needed. That's why they're going to go to San Diego, and that's why they're going to go to Detroit, because they can't be seen not to be needed.
There's a lot of truth in what Matthew Bird says.
He does speak the truth.
You know, and you know, and
whether you like it or not.
Whether you like it or not. And you know, Cincinnati and San Antonio and Sacramento and us, we're all in line. We're all falling in line.
Look at Atlanta. Yeah. Look at Minnesota.
We all fell in line. But the outliers are the ones who are going to get it most, and that's San Diego and Detroit.
I think,
again, that's why Atlanta and Minnesota did. You're having soccer fun without us.
Yeah.
We have to bring you into the fold.
And that's kind of why I want Jim Cavanaugh and St. Louis FC involved, because I'd much rather, if they're going to do it, I'd much rather that team be involved in the MLS team here in St. Louis.
What we've got going for us is our location. We don't have a team 100 miles away from us.
Right.
Like Cincinnati, if Cincinnati goes into MLS, Columbus Crew are screwed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, Columbus Crew are going to veto that. I don't think they want three teams in Texas. I'm not convinced they want four teams in California.
Five, if you're talking Sacramento too.
That's why I think San Diego's jumped the queue.
Yeah, and I will feel bad for Sacramento fans, because they've done everything right. They've packed that place for years now, and
but again, they've never had a bad year. Let's see how they do if they have a season like ours.
I'm with you.
The same with Cincinnati. But saying that, we've won as many playoff games as Cincinnati have, so, you know, we're the same. We're exactly the same.
Yeah. No difference.
Not at all.
No difference.
Nothing at all.
I do find what's going on in Charlotte kind of humorous.
Yeah. Well,
who didn't see that coming?
But you know what? Again, Charlotte is a good market, I believe. It's been shittily owned. They've gone in there with a shoestring plan. They're playing in a rec park with some fold-out mm-hmm. bleachers.
Mm-hmm. Again,
it is an excuse. The fans use that excuse that it's too far away, and I think that's bullshit, because Charlotte's field is as far away from downtown Charlotte as Fenton is from downtown St. Louis, and we still go. But
the first year they had three home stadiums. One of them was in a different state.
Yeah. and you know they're only using Ramblewood half of this season. They're using another site out even farther outside of Charlotte, because they can only get Ramblewood for half
but
the season.
But they went in there talking the big one.
They did.
They went in there talking the big one with the lights and the glitter, and we're going to do this, and this. And they couldn't do this properly. Yeah. They couldn't do this.
And now
properly.
They're crying foul that they're getting
well,
skipped.
Well, if they'd have gone in there like Sacramento did
and
or Cincinnati
right.
did and did it right,
you wouldn't have this problem.
I would have some sympathy for them, but I don't. I don't have any sympathy. The only sympathy I have is for the actual Independence fans.
Yeah.
The people that
have showed up.
Yep.
That have, and those people are doing everything they can, and I will never wish ill upon fans that actually show up.
Exactly. Nope. I totally agree. I just want them to lose.
Right. Right. I want them to lose. I want them to be miserable, but I applaud their efforts for showing up. Last thing I want to bring up, guys, it's been 7 years. The podcast had an anniversary while we were gone. Matt, you haven't been with us for all 7 years, but you've been with us for the best part. And by best part, I mean longer than not.
You weren't dealing with twigs and shit. I mean, you guys and Kyle and Steve Rusnak who got this podcast off the ground when there really was nothing really going on.
Yeah, we picked the wrong time to start it, right after our team left.
But you know, you guys really do deserve that. I've kind of just jumped on the bandwagon when, you know, when the good things were happening. So
when we had 15 members. Yeah, you got in there before the bandwagon, Matt.
I kind of did, but it wasn't long afterwards when things started really taking off.
He only spent one season baking in the sun, and
I did too.
But I do think we need to own the moniker of longest running Lower League American Soccer Podcast.
As far as I know, we are.
I haven't been able to find anything that says differently.
And I started a new Twitter account. Please follow This Is Silly Pod on Twitter. And I put in the little bio, the longest running is probably, and no one has called me on it yet. So as far as I know, that makes us the de facto champ in the Division II and below U.S. soccer podcasts.
Yeah, I mean, everything I'm thinking of, nobody comes.
So there's a lot of good people doing good work out there, and we had talked to USL about maybe putting out a list of podcasts for the league, but maybe I'll do that since they haven't done anything about it. Because there are good ones out there. There's a lot of shit, too. Don't kid yourself. There are some bad podcasts. And on our worst day, we're a bad podcast. But on our best day...
That one where we watched the game while we did the podcast, yeah. That was terrible. Yeah. I still apologize for that to this day.
But
it was such a good idea.
Once again, we're getting paid nothing, so you get what you pay for.
Yeah, freeloading them.
But I do think on our best days, we've done some good work. We've brought some information to people.
I think we've done good with getting the people that the listeners want to hear from.
Yeah, that you make know, a difference. You
get Jeremy on, you get Tom on, you get the players on.
Well, Jim Cavanaugh, Jim Shipley. We've had a lot of good gyms.
We know this league now. I mean, after 2 years, we know this league. I mean, we watch a lot of games. Yeah, I mean, if there's a USL game going on, I will probably watch it.
What I'll do a lot of times is on Monday, you know, when I'm like eating lunch or something like that, I'll throw on one of the games from the weekend just to kind of see what we're looking at.
You know, I'd like to do a lot more of that, actually, like a league recap, like Matt's recap corner or something during the season, where I can just talk about some of the games that we watched and stuff.
Don't do that. Brad will use it as an excuse not to show up.
No, that sounds perfect to me. No,
we'll be the sweary USL show.
We are the sweary USL show. And also, I give ourselves a pat on the back. We do know a lot of people in town, and we do talk to a lot of people, and we give informed opinions about, right now, the topic du jour is the MLS to STL, and I think we've covered that just as well as anybody else.
But I think part of it is that, you know...
But we've covered it from an informed standpoint.
Yes. Right.
That's exactly what I was...
It's opinion, but it's
we do our
good
homework.
Opinion.
We could easily take something that we know to be questionable and put it out there like it's fact.
Yeah.
And stake our credibility on it.
We weed through a lot of bullshit for you.
You know, yeah. And there is a lot of bullshit out there.
Yeah.
I mean, again... Not to harp on it, but we knew from the get-go that the Foundry probably wasn't a legitimate venture.
They came to us a long time ago, and we thought it smelled funny from the beginning.
Because that very first day, they came to us and said, here's us. And we started, okay, they're getting sued by the car.
Right.
We did our homework before saying yes or no. And I think we carry that across to all this kind of stuff. You know,
know people in town and we make phone calls and what are you guys hearing about this? If there's something there, we track it down.
We go to events like the TED Talk. You know, we're putting in the legwork. You know, we're not necessarily whoring ourselves out at every opportunity.
And we're not professional journalists because we don't get paid.
No, not at all. Not at all. And we have no aspirations to do so.
And we're not pretending to be journalists either.
That's the most important part. We know who we are. We're three fucking idiots.
And we're having fun.
But that's it. It's all about having fun and being silly.
So 7 years of being silly on a podcast.
Thanks for listening, too.
Thanks for listening to everybody. And
every time I get one of those compliments from somebody, you know, oh, man, you know, I can't tell you how many people the first time I met them was like, hey, I'm so-and-so. I listen to their podcast. It's awesome.
Yeah.
And it's like just that little moment makes you.
And there have been plenty of times when I've said, that's it. I'm not doing this shit anymore.
That's usually a Sunday night.
Right. We're not getting paid.
Every Sunday
night. You know, I'm taking 2-3 hours out of my life every Monday night to come do this. And
I will say about the podcast, right, is that I enjoy it, but I also enjoy the fact that it's done right. I mean, we're all sat in a room. We're not on Skype, you know, listening to dead air and it all coming across tinny. And we're not doing, you know, and it's go back to Mitch's band days, the fact that we're not doing it on gaming headsets either. I mean, we've got proper stuff here. You know, we've got a proper microphone, proper audio headsets, a mixing board thing over there that looks like Mitch is about to go into space or something over there. That
it is mission
match.
Control. Yeah.
But that's the
but
thing.
It's done properly.
But we do it right. We as a whole, the Hooligans, when we do something, We don't half ass.
We do it whole assed.
We do whole assed.
No, mean, but I mean, you, but you that's talk, true. It's, you talk it, about the tailgate crew, man.
Yes, exactly.
It's nailed. It's bang right. on.
They exactly. could they could roll a few hot dogs out on a grill, but they're not content with that. They right. do a fucking seafood boil.
Yeah, the drum, the drummers.
Yeah.
You, could, you know, no, we have quads. Could, we have a Thunder war drum. Yeah. We have multiple drums that light up.
They don't buy something from a pawn shop and beat on it. Yeah. These are professional quality instruments.
I would put our drum corps up against anyone in American soccer.
You know, we have a capo team that, you know, work things out and figure it out. And
they do dances.
They have set lists. they literally will work through, okay, this worked good last time. Let's focus on the, you know.
Yes.
Again, you know, the march in, we have people doing, everybody does something and does it right. You know, the scarves, we take a whole bunch of ideas. We could just, Brad and I could sit here and say, okay, that's the one we're doing and that's it.
Yeah.
And then when people say, oh, that sucked, it's like, yeah, tough, that's what we're doing. No, we get opinions and we get ideas and we mash it together.
We challenge ourselves to do better.
Yeah, I don't want to be putting out mediocrity.
I live mediocrity.
Exactly.
I want to pretend that my soccer experience is great. and it is.
Except for on field.
Yeah.
No, not this year, man.
This
no,
year's different.
Since the hope that kills you.
No, but thank you, everybody, for listening. Thank you for the kind words. Thank you for the people who hate us, because you inspire us as well. So, I don't know. 7 years, I think that's a pretty big milestone.
You're quitting, aren't you?
It's time for me to say goodbye.
No, it's not.
Soon, very soon. As soon as MLS is announced, I think I'll
What retire. Did Sonny call it? The dulcet tone, bass tones of your voice?
Yeah. But no, seriously, thanks, guys. Your heart is true. Keep listening.